Hello, good morning. Our subject this morning is knowing him better. By knowing, we're not thinking of understanding facts or mental knowledge, but rather a personal friendship type of knowledge. And him is God, or specifically Jesus Christ. Better means better. So knowing him better, knowing Jesus better. I feel totally unqualified to speak on this subject. It's so intimate and one which needs someone with a much closer walk than I have. But I'll do my best. So, our title comes from the first reading that we had, where Paul is praying for the Ephesian Christians and he says, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ that you may know him better. Paul's praying lots of different things, but the chief aim, the chief thing he's asking the Lord for is so that the Christians would know him better. Oh, know Jesus better. And it's Paul's other great prayers in Ephesians 3, which we heard about from Simon last week, Philippians 1, Colossians 1, they all say the same thing. Paul is praying particularly, specifically, that the Christians would know Jesus and know his character better. So I dare to say that if Paul was here this morning, the Apostle Paul, and was praying for us, one of the things he would specifically pray for is that we would know Jesus better. Two questions I'm hoping to answer. Why is it worth knowing Jesus better? And how do we know him better? There was a man, he had two sons. The first son, Abs, comes up to him and says, hello, Dad. I've been really, really busy this week. I've been doing lots of good things. I've been talking to lots of people. I've been helping lots of people. And here's a list of the things they need you to do for them, please. And I've also been reading a book about you. Bye. See you next week. The other son, Zab, comes up and says, hello, Dad. Great to see you. Give us a hug. What's been on your heart this week? What are you wanting to tell me about? It's been great to have a chat. Can we meet up again during the week? Because I'd love to chat with you further. Quite a contrast, isn't it? And there's a risk, I think, that we can think about doing all the right things and getting really busy and serving the Lord and doing this and ticking all the right boxes, but missing out on that personal time, that personal being with the Lord. Let's do some mathematics now. Let's all switch you all off. E equals mc squared, Einstein's famous equation, lots of other equations, x equals a plus b plus c. Can we express the Christian life as an equation? I guess that if we ask the man on the street, what's Christianity all about? And the majority would say, well, it's about doing good things. And they would be... and they might well say, well, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to believe in God. I don't hurt anyone. I help people. I'm as good as any Christian. Some would say, well, you do need to have some faith in God and also regularly attend church. And some would say, well, we need to be praying and reading the Bible. Is that an equation, or is that getting somewhere near an equation for the Christian life? And I must say, no, 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 no. Let me explain that. These are important things, aren't they? These are important things. The New Testament urges us time and again to do these things. But these are the outward expressions, the outcomes of our Christian life. They're not at the heart of being a Christian. There is an inward reality which is based on having a personal relationship with the Lord. It's about Jesus living inside by the Holy Spirit. It's about us walking day by day with him. To me, Jesus' teaching confirms this. He keeps talking about himself and saying, believe in me, receive me, and you will have life, real life. He talks a lot about the kingdom of God and being about, therefore, about being the people of God. And that is the foundation for him then talking about the way we should live our lives. He was once asked, well, what's the most important thing? And he said, the first and greatest commandment is this, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And the second is that you love your neighbor as yourself. So yes, we are to love our people. Yes, we are to do those things in the previous slide. But first, foremostly, preeminently, we are to love God with all that we have. When you look at Paul's teachings, they are very Jesus-centered. And time and again he's saying, talking about being in him, being in Christ. And that then becomes the foundation for him then to talk about what he wants, or what the Lord wants us to live like. For example, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and so on. The fruit are the produce. These fruit are what God wants to produce in us through the Spirit. And it's as we are in him and walk in step with the Spirit. So we come to our main reading. So we've looked at how Jesus is teaching and Paul's teaching, to me, just concentrates on Jesus. Here's Paul, and he's talking about himself and saying, I'm perfect before God. I'm as close to perfection as it is possible. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, tick. Of the people of Israel, tick. Of the tribe of Benjamin, tick. A Hebrew of Hebrews, tick. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. What he's meaning there is he was taught by one of the foremost teachers of the day and he understood the scriptures thoroughly, tick. As for zeal, persecuting the church, he put in more energy and zeal than anybody else to try to follow what God was wanting, tick. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless, tick. It's possible there's a risk that we can think of box ticking. I've done that, tick. go to a good church, tick. I've been helping those people, tick. I've been reading my Bible, tick, or whatever. What does Paul say? But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own, but that which that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. I want to know Christ. He's saying, I've thrown it all away. Everything which gave me perfection, I thought, before God, I've thrown it away. I'm no longer thinking in that sort of way. It is rubbish. Doesn't count for anything compared with the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ. This is the first thing, and then everything else can flow from it. So my life isn't what I'm doing, my own righteousness, but it's what's coming from Christ, and that is my righteousness and justification. But this thought that knowing Jesus is better than anything else, it surpasses every other value. So why? What's so special about Jesus? In the New Testament, he's described as the way, or he describes himself as the way, the truth, and the life. The Good Shepherd, the image of the invisible God, the Lamb of God, the Son of God and Son of Man. He is perfect. He was and is perfectly God and perfectly man. Creator, Word of God, Alpha and Omega, Christ the Lord, faithful and true, life and resurrection, bread of life, promised Messiah, mediator and advocate before God for us, author and finisher of our faith, Lord of Lords, light of the world, King of Kings, our gate to eternal life, Savior of the world, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us. There's no one who's ever lived who could claim any one of those to be truly them. But Jesus is all of them, fully, totally, and much more beside. Wow. No wonder Paul said, knowing Jesus is better than anything else, surpassing value. I want to say something about what knowing Jesus is like in practice. And I'm going to share some thoughts, some of them personal thoughts. You may have different thoughts because the way in which Jesus reveals himself is in many ways, so it's not exhaustive. When we become a Christian, we are born again. We are a changed person. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read that we are a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. So we, because of the indwelling of the Spirit of God and Jesus Christ, we are new. We are inwardly new people. And that works its way out progressively outwards in our outward lives. We have peace, a deep inward peace from knowing inwardly that we're forgiven and right with God. I think that comes from having first recognized the absolute horror of our sinfulness and that we have needed Jesus, his death, the shedding of his blood to cleanse us and make us forgiven and right with him, to be able to approach God at any time, to be able to walk with Jesus at any time. What a wonder. And to have friendship with him. This was the first thing I thought of, was just to have a close friendship with Jesus. We walk together, we talk together. He's our guide. He's the one we want to, show us what to do. So what do you want to tell me about? What do you want to reveal? And we share our hearts with him. And we've got the Psalms as incredible examples of that. David and the other psalmists were saying, same things as they are, they're opening up their hearts and expressing themselves. And sometimes it's with complaint. Lord, this is wrong. This is unjust. What are you doing about it? Come and do something quickly. But as they progress through the psalm, it feels as though they're opening up their heart and letting God influence their thoughts, and they're coming to a faith and trust. Tell the Lord how it is. But in doing that, just have an open heart for him to drop in his thoughts. In John chapter 10, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. And he says, my sheep recognize my voice. So Jesus is speaking, and if we have an ear, we can hear him. And so oftentimes read something or in everyday situation, a thought drops into us from the Lord, and it's lovely and wonderful. Sometimes it jumps out of the page at you. Sometimes Lord just so impresses something on you, which is so perfect and so precious. It's only of God. And you feel so, so small at that time. And we're blessed in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, in the beginning, it describes the incredible blessings we have in Christ. And also, in addition to that, there are times when God just does something, says something, intervenes in some miraculous, wonderful way, and it's, all you can say is it's of God. Some years ago, I read a book called The Happiest People on Earth, and it's obviously about Christians. Reading it, it talked some length about the suffering of it was written by an Armenian American Christian, but it starts by describing the horrific sufferings of Armenian Christians, and as the book goes on, it talks about the terrible things that the author and his family suffered. The happiest people on earth. There's something irrepressible about just the Lord's blessing in our lives, even in the most tricky of situations. There's a peace, a contentment, and sometimes even a joy. And sometimes, sadly, I've not recognized it at the time, but I've recognized it later. And we trust him. in the good times and the bad times. We trust him for the way to go. What's the right choice? Here are my plans, but what are your plans? We trust him in the things we don't understand, the things which are all going wrong, all yucky, and I can see no way through. In Romans chapter 4, we read about Abraham. And it says that when he had no basis for hope, he had hope. And when things got more and more impossible for God's promise of giving a son to him and Sarah, and in their old age, as it got more and more impossible, it says his faith increased. And I think that was a God-given thing for him. I think it is, you know, this is my personal thought. I think that my personal faith takes me so far, but I then need the Lord's trust and faith to take me through further. So, well worth knowing Jesus. And how do we do it? It's basically spending time with him. And it's great being in situations like this and with other people and all sorts of opportunities to receive from the Lord. But there's also being alone with God, being alone with Jesus. Be a Zab. Wow, I don't know. Blesses my socks off or something. I don't know. What's your expression for the reality and the touch of Jesus in our lives? I don't know. There may be some here who feel that they've never had that personal knowing of Jesus. Well, you can. And humbly, genuinely seek him. And maybe some who wish to join my ranks and say, I want to know him better. I'm not there yet. Humbly and genuinely seek him. Paul, when he was in Athens, said, God made mankind so that they would seek him and reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Jesus is nearby, he's close, wants to be found. And his request to us is seek him, reach out for him and find him. When Jesus was talking about receiving good things from God, he said, ask, keep on asking, and it'll be given to you. Seek, keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock, keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. We'll finish with a prayer. Gracious Lord Jesus, you are so wonderful. We want to know you. We want to know you better. We ask for you. We seek you. We knock on your door. Please come to us and live in us in a fuller way. Amen.